Please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Good morning. Pastor Don will be bringing us a message from God's Word this morning out of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. This is the word of God. You may be seated.
God be thanked for his word. Let us pray. Father, we are very thankful for the fact that as we celebrate Christmas, we understand what we're celebrating. We recognize that this holiday is one that many people enjoy, few people understand, and we pray that you'd help us to be faithful in talking to folks that we have contact with this Christmas season about why there is this season, who Jesus is, why he came, what this is all about. Help us as we consider this portion of Scripture too this morning, that we might glorify you and the thoughts that we have and the presentation that we enjoy, that we see, that you'd speak to our hearts, that eternal things would be accomplished. Pray that the meditation of our hearts and our minds might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, and pray that you would accomplish eternal things, even if we are met together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We are... It is amazing to me. My whole thing just disappeared. But yeah, we are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 1, or chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. There's some very interesting things that are here, and one of the things that always troubles me in preaching on this section of Scripture is how much we do not know, how much we have to speculate about. If you know me, one of the things I hate to do is speculate. I think the Bible tells us so much that is so clear that those are the things we need to be concerned about more than the things that we speculate about. But we're going to look at a few things. When you think about when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, you have to be amazed at who sought him and who did not. And pretty much everyone didn't. You think about the religious leaders of the day, folks that knew he was coming, that knew the scriptures, knew where to look for him. People like the Sanhedrin, the scribes, the Pharisees, the high priests. They all knew where he was going to be born. They knew all about him, but they did not seek him. Then there was Herod the Great, the guy who had the title King of the Jews, Christ's title, but he took it for himself, and he didn't look for him. And how about the average Jewish person? We might give them a little bit of slack because they may not have known all these things, but they didn't seek him either. But then when you start looking, there's two sets of people that we find that sought the Lord. One are the shepherds, which interestingly enough are mentioned in the book of Luke. And they saw what I call the divine press release when the angel appeared to them and said, you know, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then the angels came out and they had a great praise meeting to talk about that. And they disappeared, and then the shepherds went to find him. And the second group that we find are Magi from the east. These are the ones we're going to look at today. In many ways, they're most interesting to me. There's a thought that's not in my notes that I want to give you that you ought to think about. when you go to Bible school, one of the things they delight in telling you is, you know, all four Gospels, and this is a true fact, all four Gospels, not five, all four Gospels have four different viewpoints of the story, of the events of Christ coming to earth. Matthew is the Gospel of the Jews. He is the one that's interested in the Jewish Messiah and all the Jewish things and the fulfillment of Jewish prophecy. Mark, he's interested in his the servanthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the guy that wrote the really quick gospel. His favorite word is immediately. He wants immediately this, immediately that, immediate the next thing. He wrote that gospel. Then there was Luke. Luke was the Gentile. Luke wrote Gentile stuff. He talked about Jesus coming and he's the Lord of all. Then John talked about a book also written, by the way, to the Gentiles, but kind of fills in the rest about who Jesus is, the Son of God. That was his great emphasis. God's deity, Christ's purpose in coming, all those things are in the Gospel of John. Now, what's interesting when you look at this first event, two Gospels carry what we call nativity section, so I think there's three. I think John's nativity scene is John 1:14. I understand Pastor preached on that. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that certainly is a nativity passage in my mind. But two people give us events about people who sought Jesus. And what's interesting to me, if I gave you all that background, Luke's the gospel for Gentiles, about the gospel that given to Gentiles, written for Gentiles, seen Gentile works and all that. And you see Matthew is the gospel to the Jews. Who do you think would deal with Hebrew shepherds? Matthew, right? Wrong. Who would deal with a Gentile magi? Luke. Wrong. Why is that? I have no clue, but it's intriguing to me. Because one of the things you find in both gospels, although there's an emphasis to specific people, Christ came for all people. And He came for all human beings, men and women, and Greeks and Jews, Gentiles and Jews, all those are in it. So it's kind of interesting to me. That's just a thought I had. But we're going to look at the Magi today in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And we're going to look at it in two parts. And I really feel bad because every time I go over this, I think, you know, you realize I'm telling you a lot of things we don't know for sure in the first part. There's a lot of things we do know for sure in the second part. But we don't know some things for sure in the first part because we have no idea who these men were. We know they are more than one. We don't know how many more than one, but we know there are more than one because it's plural. And they came from these. So we're going to talk first about the wise men who sought Him, verses 1 and 2, and then those who did not come to see Him, verses 3 through 6. That's what we're going to spend our time on. First, we're going to talk about those who came, who sought Him. We always call them the wise men. This is where we're going to really start. I'm going to read this to you. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Herod the great, behold, that means look to see, look at this. He's kind of helping us see in our minds what actually took place. Behold, look at this. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? Now, who in the world were these guys? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Matthew 2, 1 and 2. Like Luke, Matthew records a group of people that sought Jesus. These were people that were probably, if we were picking people we thought would come see Jesus, these are like the least possible people we'd think about. Matthew doesn't mention the shepherds. He focuses on the visit of the Magi from the east. Now, Matthew exhorts us at first to look and see. He wants us to imagine, to see in our minds these guys coming. He doesn't tell us how many they are. He just tells us that they are men from the east. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who's born king of the Jews? A lot of questions. Who were these wise men? Best way to say that is, I don't know. We don't know. We have no idea. The word used to describe them is not wise men, but magi. I always think it's interesting. We call them wise men largely because of the translations we have. The word is magi. Magi, which means these are people you'd think about when you think about people that are godly. Wizards, magicians, astrologers, and astronomers. I mean, these were people that studied the sky. They were interested in all these kind of strange things. And yet they come to Jerusalem looking for the Messiah. We are told that they came from the east, but we don't know what the east was. There's lots of speculation. Some say, well, he came from Persia. Some say, well, they came from Babylon, which is almost saying the same thing, because the Persians took over Babylonia. And Babylon, which is now in the modern state of Iraq. But that's where they probably came from, somewhere out there. That we don't know that for sure, but that seems to be possible. We read about people like this in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 2 with King Nebuchadnezzar, verses 2 and 10. I picked up two verses. King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. Then the king gave the commandment to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the Chaldeans and answered the king. Now the king had said there, I had this dream. You tell me what the dream is, then tell me what it means. And they said, well, we can't tell you what it means unless you tell us what the dream is. And they said, nobody can. That's what they're going to tell him. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, the king, therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, any astrologer, or any Chaldean. The only problem was there was one guy that was going to tell him, and that's because God was going to tell this one person. That was Daniel. And God told Daniel what he dreamed and told him how to interpret what he dreamed. And so Daniel was able to do it because God gave it to him. So there was a person on earth that could do it, but only because God gave it to him. There's another mystery. Now, that's probably who they are. They're one of that group of astrologers, those kind of wise men that were out there in the East. And there's another mystery about them, and why did they come to Jerusalem looking for, a Messiah, the King of the Jews, born King of the Jews? How would they know to look for him? Why didn't they go to one of the other, like Syria or one of the other kingdoms around there, Edom? Why did they come to Jerusalem? Again, we don't know. It is possible because you remember the Jews were captive to Babylon. And when Cyrus came to the throne, he was a Persian, he let them go. And a lot of them came back to Israel, and a lot of them stayed in Babylon. So if those Jews in Babylon, this is again speculation, can't say anything about it being true, but it's probable. The Jews that were in Babylon probably told these guys, they are expecting this Messiah. And they didn't know when he would come. Though there was a great anticipation about this time that Messiah might come. And they said, well, this could be that. And they saw this star and they put it together and said, he must be the one the star is about. Now they saw this star in the east. If you know anything about Babylon, you know it's east of Israel. So he didn't see the star in the eastern sky as much as they were in the east when they saw the sky, the star. That's another thing you should realize, that they're not talking about where the star was, they're talking about where they were. We saw the star when we were in the east, the star in the east. It was especially rude awakening when they showed up in Jerusalem and asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? I was really interested in this. I was reading several commentaries on this, and several are saying, well, Herod had a good bunch of spies, and that's how they knew these guys were out there asking that question. I'm going to put a question to you. If you're looking for someone who's born King of the Jews, use their language, not born to be, but born king, where would you look? Well, I would look at Jerusalem, the capital city, number one. Number two, I'd look in the king's palace, wouldn't you? I mean, we know better now, but if you didn't know what we know, where would you look for him? Well, you'd go to Herod's house. So when Herod heard this, I don't think he heard it from his network of spies. I think he heard it from the guy that answered the front door. Now, again, that's speculation, but my speculation is as good as theirs. We don't know. We're just told when Herod heard this, well, when the guy went and told Herod, hey, there's a bunch of guys at the front door, and they're saying, where is he, Martin, king of the Jews? What do I say? And Herod was upset. That's his response. When he, where is he, born king of the Jews? That kind of surprised him. Or made an upsetting situation. One thing we can say for sure, these guys came an awfully long way and when travel was very perilous in order to find this Messiah. We read that they fell down and worshipped him. There is an issue there. I don't know whether they knew what they were worshipping. I do know this, they knew he was special. But the word worship is proskuneto, which means to kiss the hand toward, literally. Means to prostrate yourself before. Prostrate yourself before? Lay down before. Bow down. Do obeisance. And that's what they came to do because they worshipped him as a great man, if not as Messiah. We don't know. Now that we've got through all the stuff we don't know, we also don't know how many there were. I have to say that. We know there were three gifts. From that, it's been deduced. Most people think the tradition deduced there had to be three magi, and they even produced names for them. Though there's no proof at all that these are the guys. But anyway, a lot of stuff we don't know. But they came. We know they came from the east. They came to Jerusalem and they asked a very scary question, Herod. Who is he born king of the Jews? Now we're going to talk about those who did not seek him. The Magi sought him, and they found him. Whether there were those who sought the Lord Jesus when he was born, there were some who did not. And those are the ones that are pretty interesting to me in Matthew. He wrote about first, there was the king, King Herod himself. Herod was called, he took that title, the king of the Jews. Herod was not a Jew. Herod was an Edomite. There was in the intertestamental time, the Edomites came into the area that is called Judah in the Old Testament, and they had a name, and I can't remember what it was now. But that was his heritage. He came from there. He was not Jewish, but when all this stuff happened, Rome took over Jerusalem, over Israel. They gave part of it to Herod, and made him king. And he took the title King of the Jews. Now Herod was a guy who wouldn't seek him because Herod was troubled because Herod was just an evil person. I'm going to give you a short sketch. He put to death his grandfather of his favorite wife, and then he put to death the sons of his favorite wife, and then he eventually put to death his wife, his favorite wife. Had several wives, several sons. Then a little bit later, when he's getting old, he's going to die, he kills another son because he wants to make sure he's not going to be the king. And then he makes an order that when he's going to die, he wants all the somebodies in the kingdom to surround his bed. And when he dies, they're to kill all of them, which they didn't do. And that was so there would be real grief when he died. So you realize when you read what he did to those people, to the children in Bethlehem, that was not out of character for Herod. He was quite a person. He was not a nice man. If I were making my list of the evilest men that ever lived, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and Herod the Great would be on it. Because they were not nice people. Not at all. He was very paranoid about people who wanted his throne, and so he wouldn't tolerate anybody who was claiming that title, even a baby had just been born. I mean, that's pretty scary. Somebody comes, but where is he born king? We always want to say born to be king, but it doesn't say that. It says born king. In other words, he's a king from the moment he is born. King of the Jews. Well, where is he? Well, I mean, that's me. That's my title. But, you know, I'm not just born, I'm an old man. But still, that was him. So he was very concerned and he was very angry. And that's why when the wise men did not come back, the Magi did not come back and tell him where they found him, he did something very awful. Verse 16. And Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, the Magi, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. In other words, when they saw that star. Now, from that, there's another deduction that's made that may or may not be true. The deduction is that Jesus was probably 2 years old when the wise men came, because the wise men saw the star 2 years before. And if the star appeared first when Jesus was born, then he was probably 2 years old when the wise men came. It also has to do with people try to figure out his birth related to the death of Herod the Great, but we won't even talk about that. Second group who did not seek the Lord were the people themselves. In verse 3 it says, where is he who was born King of the Jews? That's what the wise men asked. He, that's Herod, was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. There's some who think that means that when Herod's mad, Jerusalem's upset. Don't think so. I think that would be a meaningless statement if that was why it was there. I think the point was that it wasn't just Herod that was upset. I think everybody who were in Jerusalem, all the Jewish people, especially those who were of the mindset of the Jewish thinking, Pharisees, Sadducees, all those guys, they were upset, because here was coming the Son of God. Well, we have this whole thing in place and we're not interested in what he's going to bring. And I was thinking, I'm going to illustrate this. When I was a kid, when I was a young guy, I don't know how old I was, but for a lot of years, every year we'd have revival meetings. And we would have an evangelist come and he would preach. And almost invariably, one of those nights, which went on forever, you know, I was young, so I remember how long they were. And I remember they started 7, we wouldn't get out till 9. When you're a young person, that's really late. Especially when mom says you got to be in bed at 8:30. But we'd get out from church at 9, which means we didn't get to bed until 9:30 or 10. But anyway, that's beside the point. They would come, and almost every time they would preach a message on 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. You know what that's about, right? Lord shall descend with the voice, the shout of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are gathered together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And they would come with that thing, and they'd roll up like a newspaper and beat us over the head with it. They really would. And they would tell, are you going to be ready? And frankly, most of us were pretty terrified, because most of us were thinking, well, there's something else I want to do besides the Lord enter my life and change everything. Take me home for eternity now. But that's going to happen someday. The Lord is going to descend. He's going to come. But they would always forget verse 18. That was not given to be a threat. That was given to be an encouragement. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You know why we were terrified? Because we didn't love his appearing. We were not ready for him to come. We had something else in mind instead of the Lord coming. We had someone else in God's place instead of God. That usually was us and our desires and our dreams. I was thinking, what if Isaiah the prophet come right now? We knew he was Isaiah. He just shows up, and we know, just like they did on the Mountain of Transfiguration, it's Isaiah. God sent him. We know everything he says is going to happen. He said, okay, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, Jesus is coming back. How would we respond? I think if we get an idea of what that's like, we understand why those Jews were not too happy. They were disturbed. All Jerusalem was disturbed with Herod. Herod was disturbed because it meant probably the end of his kingdom. all Jerusalem was disturbed because they realized this was the coming of that promised Messiah. They weren't really sure they wanted him there. They had no room for him in their life. The third group, which is that didn't seek the Lord, is, I think, the most culpable one, the one that has most to be blamed. When Herod heard that from the wise men, he decided he would ask the scriptural authorities where he was going to be born. And they had an answer. And when he, Herod, had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, scribes of the people together, he inquired of them, "Where is the Christ to be born?" So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet." And now there's kind of a putting together of two texts here. First part is Micah, most of it is Micah 5, 2, I think it's 2. "Bethlehem, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel." That last phrase probably comes from another place. But I think they might have put it together, and they might be quoting from a Targum, which was kind of a paraphrase of the Hebrew Old Testament, and they probably got it from there. But anyhow, wherever they got it from, that's what it says in the Bible. That's what they quote. They knew where he was coming from. They also knew something about the kind of character he would have. So this is a group who was supposed to know all this stuff, who understood all this stuff, but did they leave their studies? Did they leave their whatever to go find him? Never. Even when they heard, hey, you know, there was these guys who came, and they saw a star in the east, and they know this star is a heavenly omen to show them that something wonderful is happening, and they're pretty convinced that this is the omen of the birth of the Messiah, of the King of the Jews. And they say, oh, well, we know where he's going to be born. They need to go to Bethlehem, that little city, the city of David. They need to go there because that's where he's going to be born. So they knew where to go. They pretty much knew when they should go because they heard about it. They never went. I think that's an amazing statement. They were the ones, if anybody's most guilty, it's them. It's utterly amazing to me that these men did not seek him when the strangers from the east came. I mean, this is mind-boggling to me. Why wouldn't you? I mean, if you knew all these ancient texts, and you knew the Bible, and you knew what it said, and you knew what God promised, and you knew all the ways God kept the promises, why would you not go? Because they didn't have any room for Jesus either. They didn't want him in their life. They didn't want him in their system of church. I mean, they had their own temple worship. They had their own rules of how to be acceptable to God. They're thinking about the Pharisees and the scribes. All those things they had, and Jesus was going to come and destroy all of that, and they didn't want him to come. How about us? We know something about how our Lord came, but do we know him? That's the question. Do we know who he is? Do we know what he's like? Do we know what he's all about? I guess those questions have become really important to me in the last week. I had, the privilege of being part of a funeral service for a really dear friend of mine, you know about, who was the guy that followed me as the pastor of the church that I left. And God took him home. And he's younger than I am. That's really hard. So far, I buried a lot of friends who went home to be with the Lord, but they were all older than I was. He's younger than I am. He's a guy that I spent 13 years with in the last church. And we worked together, and he did a lot of growing. I remember what he's like when I came, and I remember how he had changed by the time I left, and how mature he got, and how spiritually minded he got, and what God did with him. And some things that happened after I left that I've been really impressed with. And then the Lord chose to send him home, take him home. And I thought about this time of year and what we do with Christmas and how we think about all these things, and we sing them, and we say all these things. But do you realize that this is eternity we're dealing with? Someday, it's going to happen to you, and it's going to happen to me. I hope the Lord comes back first. I really do. But someday, the Lord's going to say, it's time. And that's going to be it. And you're going to be in His presence. Do you know Him? Do you really know Him? Have you put your trust in Him to save you? Because that's really what it's all about. That's why Jesus came. We always talk about that. Jesus came and He lived for 30 years, maybe 33 years. And He lived a sinless life in our presence so we would know who He is. Fulfilled all those prophecies and then died on a cross that He did not deserve because we deserved it. And He did it for us. That's why this is important. We may not be guilty of the scribes and the religious leaders, but we may be guilty of the fact that we know where to find Him and we just haven't sought Him out. I remember as a boy, I had spent, this is crazy, but I spent years talking to my neighbors. I was young and I had really good Sunday school teachers. And they taught us all about the gospel and how to be saved. And I would go tell my friends about that, my next door neighbors. And I remember one time feeling really convicted after one of those evangelists came through. And I went and got a whole bunch of tracts off the track rack at church, took them around and put them in the doors of church of people on our street. And then one day, a year or two later, I realized I was busy telling everybody how to find the Lord, hadn't taken time to find Him myself. God saved me, and I'm thankful. I wonder if you're in that place. You and I are in that place. We know where to send people. But do we really know Him? And do we really send people to Him like we should? That's the question. So, beloved, here's my last statement, but I think it kind of sums it up. If someone were to walk up to you today and ask, where is he who was born the King of the Jews? What would you say? I hope you would say, he's in my heart. And he's in my life. And he can be in yours too. And here's how. I hope that you have room for Jesus in your heart and your life. Because sometimes what happens is we're so busy loving ourselves, we can't be loving God. And we have to sit down and we have to take a little bit of inventory and we have to say to God, you know, I'm sinning because I'm loving me and I'm not loving you. Yes, Lord, there's room in my heart for you. That's the important thing. 328 is the song we're going to sing. I was really surprised this was in our hymn book. I kept thinking, what am I going to sing? And there's another one by John W. Peterson that maybe I'm going to look up sometime. No room, only a manger of hay, that one. Let's pray, then we'll sing. 328. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have of having a God who has loved us so much that we can't even begin to understand. God is so holy that would not accept our sin except that Jesus died in our place. And I thank you that He did that because He loved us. Thank you that He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And He's now seated on the right hand of glory on high to ever make intercession for us. And I pray that you'd help us this Christmas season to think about Him. Think about what's really important. Help us to transform this season to be a time of great praise to you and help us to be faithful in sharing with others how they can find you too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 328.